Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the June 16, 2019 session, focusing on Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Suffer together. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Crystal Shepherd.
And I'm Bert Montgomery.
All right, I'm curious, are you guys farmers market people?
I used to be.
I drove my grandfather to the farmer's market in Memphis a few times when I was in high school. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Was he selling or buying?
Both.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I want to be a farmer's market person, but mostly I just think it's a lot of trouble to take my kids.
Oh, yeah.
So I probably will be one day, but I don't usually make it right now.
Yeah.
We do a CSA, so the farm comes to our door.
Oh, that's nice.
It's nice, yeah.
That's awesome. You like it?
I love it. Yeah. I don't have to take the kids to the farmer's market. And
you don't have to find parking.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, those are awesome things. It's great to support the local farmers, and it's fresh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Well, I hope that's part of enjoying the summer, some good healthy vegetables and all the good stuff that grows in the earth. Well, we are in Romans tonight. We're glad Crystal is back with us. Welcome back, Crystal.
Thank you.
She's very enthused about being with us.
She's like, yeah, whatever.
I'm here. You know I love being here.
Daniel had to be away tonight, and Crystal was gracious enough to step in. We're glad you're back with us.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Bert, can you help us get started with this passage from Romans?
Well, I'll try. Nikki does a better job getting us started in her Bible background video, summarizing the context of Paul's letter to Romans and exploring some of the things. And I'm sure that as we go on with this podcast, we'll talk about maybe some of our own stories and examining some things that Paul talks about regarding suffering and boasting of suffering. And because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. And if you haven't watched Nikki's video already, be sure to do that. But I want to back up, though, and I want to frame all that inside a bigger picture from the first two verses, which has long captured my imagination. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand." Now, let me repeat just a little bit of that. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And see, this is the whole big, beautiful frame for me around all of this. In the grace in which we now stand. Cole Porter wrote the great song, "Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me sit by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever. But I ask you, please, don't fence me in." My dad played that song for me when I was 10 years old, and it has been a deeply personal favorite song of mine ever since. Because, I mean, let's face it, who hasn't felt confined and restricted and fenced in? I'm going to get back to Paul in a minute. But one of my many gigs in today's so-called gig economy is teaching at a major state university. Now, some folks really enjoyed their formal schooling, but other folks, like me, for example, struggled with formal schooling. It's ironic since I'm kind of making a career out of it. But even the most successful students, I believe, have to admit that there were teachers and there were courses along the way that almost sucked everything out of them, the creativity, the enjoyment of learning, the joy of life itself. Too many restrictions, too little room for mistakes, too much regurgitation of information, and not enough hands-on learning through experience. And I know at each point in my educational journey, and yes, David, even at my beloved Baptist Seminary of Kentucky, there were moments in which my soul cried out, screamed out, "Don't fence me in."
We have a lot of students scream.
Yeah. Well, throughout our scriptures, we see some student groups. We see some groups within the Jewish tradition restricting and confining people and trying to control and put barriers around our relationship with the living God. They were creating and enforcing a never-ending list of impossible rules that sucked the creativity and joy and life out of people's souls. Jesus said of the Pharisees in Matthew 24 that they tie up heavy loads and place them on men's shoulders. And likewise, so many of us in the world today have experienced the church as a restrictive institution full of too many rules and regulations and expectations, too many do's and don'ts. And it's a place that has left very little room for mistakes. You know, our faith in Christ can be such an exhilarating and liberating experience, and it could be. And it was exhilarating and it was liberating for Paul. But unfortunately, some of us have found the church to be far too willing to tie up heavy loads and place them on people's shoulders. And that's why songs like Cole Porter's song have such lasting value. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. And I can't look at hovels and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. I think the Apostle Paul understands that. And I think the Apostle Paul speaks to that yearning deep down in our souls to be free and alive in the world, to be free and alive to encounter God, and to be free and alive to encounter and experience God and the world and have room to make big mistakes. Here again, these verses from verses 1 and 2 from Eugene Peterson's The Message. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him, make us fit for Him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. Peterson translates it this way. We throw open our doors to God, and we discover at the same moment that God has already thrown open God's door to us, and we find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory. Out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory. Paul and his epistle to Romans particularly are often used to build pens around us, to corral us, to contain us, to control us, to fence us in with proper doctrine and mental lessons about justification and faith and all kinds of big mental exercises. But there's something about these first two verses that I just can't shake. Something about this image of standing in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory. Something that leads me from the great Cole Porter tune, Don't Fence Me In, and on to the great Dixie Chicks song that says, if I can paraphrase, we all need wide open spaces and room to make our big mistakes. So whatever else we talk about tonight, suffering and endurance and hope, let's do so standing in the wide open spaces of God's grace.
Bert, when I hear you talk about being right where we wanted to be all along, in God's grace, and it made me think about how we strive for so much in life. And I speak as a recovering perfectionist, just trying to like attain, achieve, hit those goals. And we are a very driven society. And I think that carries over into our churches and into our relationship with God a lot of times, where we feel like there's so much that we have to earn, and I don't think we often stop to, you know, we get so focused in on, I'm such a worm, I'm so horrible, you know, all these things. And we don't take the time to really stand in that grace and to accept that. Like, I don't know, I just felt like, I remember as a child, this may say a lot about me as a person, but as a child, you know, I would just like I think I've mentioned this before, it's like, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, and I would come home from school or come home from Sunday school, and I would get under my covers at night and I would pray and I would beg God to forgive me. Mm-hmm. I would like talk about how horrible I was and, oh God, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. And all along I was right where I was meant to be. Like all along I was standing in that grace and I didn't know it. And I don't think I really came to understand that until I was, gosh, probably in seminary, mm-hmm. maybe. So I think there's something to what you said about that, about being able to be in that open space of God's grace, being able to mess up and make mistakes and learn from those mistakes and grow in those mistakes instead of having to be perfect or strive or earn something, that we end up right where God would have us be, standing in God's grace. It was just beautiful. So I appreciate you sharing.
And, you know, that I think that that's part of Paul's theme throughout Romans, right? Is that Jesus has done it all. Mm-hmm. Christ has done it all. Nothing. Later in Romans, right, there's what can separate us from the love. There's nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. We're standing in this big open field of God's grace. And every time we fall down and every time we think God isn't looking and we're going to try to climb the tree we're not supposed to climb in the backyard and all this kind of stuff, it's all part of the, we're just there in God's grace and it's all going to be okay because God's grace is there sustaining us. I mean, these are things we put on ourselves. I loved what you talk about drive. You know, we're driven to... And again, this is one of the things about Paul. Paul lends himself very easily, being a recovering Pharisee, lends himself very easily to making rules and regulations. Don't do this, don't do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and all that kind of stuff that people have been preaching forever and making us feel guilty about. Crystal, you mentioned about being driven. So much of our Christian thing is about driving, you know, pursuing holiness, driven to, you know, cast that sin out of your life, overcome, and do and be and ask forgiveness, you know, and as if somehow we're not in God's grace already, and also as if there's something we need to be doing. And I remember, this is going to be the Isn't Baptist Seminary of Kentucky Great, you know, show, podcast. So, Nikki, I'm sorry.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Hey, wait. But hey, I'm a fan of BSK.
Yeah, I just remember, you know, we would go visit the Abbey of Gethsemane with Dr. Glenn Henson, Rick Landon, different mm-hmm. professors took us there. It was great when Glenn took us because he knew everybody personally. And he knew Merton, Thomas Merton personally. And we were talking with one of the monks who was Thomas Merton's assistant or something. I can't remember his name. But one of the students said, well, what do you think? This is, 15 years ago or so. And the big hot-selling book of the last decade or that decade was The Purpose-Driven Life. And somebody asked this monk, what do you think about The Purpose-Driven Life? And he says, well, what is that? And he says, well, this is this new best-selling Christian book that everybody's reading and all the churches are modeling themselves after. And he says, I don't know anything about it, but I, you know, there's just something about that word driven, that if you're driven by anything, then that's not faith and that's not grace. And I can't, even if they're doing it in the name of God, there's something unholy about that word driven.
Bert, I'm gonna ramble here for a second. As I was listening to you talk at the beginning, I felt lighthearted. I felt like a weight had been lifted, and I was trying to, you know, listen to what you were saying because I was following along, but it was very freeing to listen to the words that were coming out of your mouth. And I realized that when I have that experience of listening to someone talk about scripture or theology or Jesus, you know, that I know that something's tapping into real gospel. And so I'm really grateful for the way that you framed this passage for us. Because I think so much of when we talk about being justified by faith through grace, all of those words are intended to free us, but I think we usually end up feeling so indebted that we have this drive to figure out how to repay that or deserve it or own up to it. in my work, I'm going to do like Bert does sometimes, and I'm going to ramble about a few things and I'll get back to making sense. But so in my work, I do a lot of event planning. And if you've ever done event planning, you know, there's tons of details that goes into that, and you have to, you know, there's just lots and lots of pieces. And it often feels like it's never done. Even like when the event is over, there's still little details. But there's always one of those moments for me in event planning where everything I can do is done. And I have this moment of like freedom and panic all at the same time, because freedom, it's like, oh, we're there. We made it. It's going to roll. The event's going to go smooth. And then panic is, oh my gosh, what did I forget? I've been busy for going hard for so long. It feels weird to rest. It feels weird to not have that weighing on me. And so I think that in Christianity, we have, even though we preach that it's grace, not works, or by faith, not works, but we act like it's works, not faith. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think like getting our bodies used to that feeling of like the gospel actually really is supposed to make you feel free. It's supposed to lighten the load. It doesn't fix everything. It doesn't make it all better, because as we see in our passage today, suffering's going to come, but it makes it possible to kind of to rest, to ease, to trust, to relax. I don't know. I'm not sure what you tapped into there, but that's what I got for you right now.
It also makes me wonder, if you don't feel free, is it really the gospel?
Mm.
You know, like thinking back on that little child that was underneath the covers begging for God to forgive her for, you know, popping a Barbie doll's head off or something. I mean, like, I don't know what I was asking for forgiveness for. Like, I don't know. And that feeling of having to earn that you were talking about, and like, I just wonder if like it, if that's the human construct that we have of the gospel, because we can only think of it in this transactional kind of way. Mm-hmm. That like, because, you know, Christ did this, then we need to do this, instead of just, you know, I remember growing up talking about accepting God's grace as gift. Mm-hmm. And I think about when we get a gift, what do you feel? Like, usually feel excited. You feel, when you were talking about like feeling free, like that, like feeling good. Mm-hmm. When you get that gift, even before you've even opened it. Right. And I think, you know, that's what makes me question, like, if I'm feeling like crap by what I hear, then is it really the gospel? Am I just believing some construct that we've come up with as human beings to explain what God's done, or to explain who God is, or to explain, you know, Jesus and God's grace? I don't know if I'm making sense or not. I'm kind of like externally processing, because that's how I work. So I don't know. I just think of all the times that I didn't feel free. Mm-hmm. And I think of my clients who come to me. I mean, I had two different clients today that we were talking about resting in knowing that how their identity is in Christ. And what does that mean? And there's so much guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not freedom. Right. So then that's why I go, that's not the wide open spaces Bert's talking about. That's not room to make mistakes and learn and grow. That's feeling like I've messed up and I owe something.
In this framework, if you think about, I'm thinking off the top of my head, so this may not be a good analogy, but if we think of God's wide open spaces as a big playground, right? You know, there are bullies.
Yeah.
And you may be having a great time climbing on top of the monkey bars. I don't know if they even still have monkey bars anymore. But eventually somebody's going to fall and break their arm. And boy, that's going to hurt, right? And you know, there are a lot of things that happen. There are problems and trials. And Paul ran into a lot of problems and trials. And I think for me, as I'm working with this image, to know that these are not I haven't left the playground, or I haven't left God's wide open spaces, right? So I'm not, these things are still occurring, but they're within this bigger, broader, vast thing that is as unpleasant as it can be. There's something there that I can maybe fall back on, or at least think about later. Okay, God was still there. God's grace was still, it didn't happen outside of God's grace. It did not happen outside of the presence of God. There's something comforting, even if we don't know it in that moment, as we look back and realize that as bad as this was, it's still within this larger space of God. As if, you know, the ongoing gospel message that it doesn't overcome God. It's not beyond God. It's not outside of God. See, now I'm getting into God cause it, and is it God's will? But do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Am I making any sense at all?
Yeah. Well, and also I think we also a lot of times equate suffering with punishment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can look back and say, okay, this happened. I mean, I know there are consequences in life, mm-hmm. like natural consequences. But I think like when we look at suffering, well, we think, well, what has that person done wrong?
Yeah.
Like as if the pain that we're exempt from suffering because, you know, I read my Bible or I pray or I go to church on Sunday. And I think what you said about that suffering happening, even like it doesn't happen outside the presence of God. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper. The thing that always bothered me when we were talking about Christ on the cross and the whole, like, did God turn his back on Jesus and all this? I'm kind of going on a tangent, but that's the thing that always like bothered me was I was like, because I have been, my experience in life has been that God has been with me in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the pain. And so it's hard for me to think in that moment of such horrible pain that God would not be present there. I don't know. I'm delving into like theological land here, but that's an amusement park we don't need to visit.
No, I think that, well, I mean, this is why Paul gets me all the time. His stuff is, it takes a lot of unpacking.
Mm-hmm.
Like we take five verses from Paul's letter to Romans, and we could seriously sit here for 3 hours and talk about this and chase 50 rabbits.
Oh, yeah.
Because what he writes about, I mean, he was a good writer, and he was a good writer. He was a strong theological thinker, and he conveyed really dense ideas in pretty succinct terms, which just means it takes a lot for us to unpack. And so I think we could chase this forever. But what I really am loving about this conversation is the way that it's helping us to think about suffering differently, even, I think. And I think that's kind of what we're getting at. It is that suffering comes with life. That is a part of being human. It's just, and sometimes it's suffering of our own making. Sometimes it's suffering that is imposed upon us from outside. Sometimes it's just life circumstances that we find ourselves in. And I think that what I'm hearing with what Bert said, and then and Crystal, things you were talking about too, it reminded me that a big part of the gift of grace is that we get to let go into it. And I think that suffering is often made worse when we try to control it or we try to manipulate it by our own means, when normally we just can't. Like those things aren't possible or available to us. But finding a way to let go into the grace of God and trust that there will be something to catch us helps relieve suffering, because one, it teaches us to endure. It teaches exactly what the passage says, but it also, I think it just helps relieve that suffering, because I thought it was funny, Bert, that you thought of a playground, because in my mind, I had a big gym mat where we could go and practice our tumbles, and like the mat made the tumbling and the mistakes and the pain that comes from that a little easier. So that's the image that came up for me thinking about like this big ocean of God's grace that you were talking about. But anyway, so I think, I don't know, maybe there's something in that.
Well, as I've listened to the conversation for this text, the things that have continued to come to my mind are value, that we are loved and valued by God regardless of what we do or can do or did do, that our drivenness to perform is not what makes us valuable to God. And when we talk about God's grace, that we stand in the midst and surrounded by God's grace, I mean, that is an act of valuing, right? God values us regardless. And there is some comfort to that. But I do think the word that I'm going to take away from this conversation is this sense that it's okay to stand in God's grace and to know that we are loved and valued, and that our drivenness is not what makes that happen. Bert, you mentioned Thomas Merton earlier. One of his comments that came to mind as we were talking is that this. He said, "We are so obsessed with doing that we have no time and no imagination left for being." Mm-hmm. And as a result, people are valued not for what they are, but for what they do, what they have, or for their usefulness. Maybe Paul is reminding us that we are valuable and loved by God because of who we are. And there's a great joy in playing in that playground, in that wide open space. Bert. Thank you all for this good conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.